looking for more ads?
Yeah. Any bright ideas?
What about cumly jars? The jars that are so good looking, you want to fill them with everything.
Cumly jars. Okay. Take inspiration there.
Perfect for holiday gift giving.
The Yak Babies. Sex, presidents, and sometimes books.
Welcome to Yak Babies, a new podcast on the internet sponsored by Jarring Stuff. Got some stuff, put it in a jar. My name is Aaron, I'm here with my personal pals Dave.
Hello.
And Brick.
Hey.
Today's topic, remember, if you were like us, if you were our age, I suppose, or a little bit older, then you remember that you used to be able to buy novelizations of movies.
I think they still exist.
Do they though?
Yeah, and like kids, for kids.
I guess that's true, but not in the way, like there was a novel for every fucking movie when we were children. Like you could, there was tons of them. Like every movie had a novelization. I feel like that trend has definitely abated. I certainly read several junior novelizations when I was a kid for sure, but also just like there was just tons of them. And now if you like, was it?
Juno?
Junior novelizations. So there was, there were just of the movie Juno. Used bookstores now, they can be a gold mine of novelizations because there's people who sell them off or whatever. They end up sold from estate sales and just like clog those shelves. Did you guys ever read novelizations of movies when you were younger? They fascinate you?
Star Wars is the only ones I read
as
a kid. Mm. And I barely remember that experience. So no.
So it didn't like hit home for you?
Yeah.
I guess not.
I never read them either. I liked the like sort of novelization adjacent things, like crappy little slim paperback like Ninja Turtle books or whatever that were like kind of non-canon book properties. But I never actually read any. Maybe I read some and I don't remember them, but I never read any novelizations of movies that then stuck with me.
I read it wasn't a novelization, but it was a Super Mario Brothers Choose Your Own Adventure.
I have those.
Oh yeah. Probably have the one that I had. It was awesome.
It was like a series?
Yeah, there were several. And I got one from a book fair. A lot of these things, these were the ones for kids came through book fairs. I got the Rocketeer novelization, junior novelization from a book fair. And I think the Jurassic Park junior novelization as well. Those must have come out pretty close to each other because that was probably third and second grade maybe or something. Somewhere around there.
It seems kind of a confined. Is that the word I'm looking for? I mean, I just don't see. I'm sure they're still made today. We probably should have looked to see if it's still even a thing.
Yeah.
But like, you know, today, there's with the internet, there's so much fan fiction of anything really that you want to write fan fiction about. So
yeah,
I don't know. Maybe that's taken a lot of the audience of novelizations.
I think so. And I think that you don't have to wait as long to get access to those texts anymore, right? Like part of the novelization craze, I think, is I saw, you know, Batman the movie in the theater and I loved it. I saw it 10 times, but now it's out of the theater. I have to wait before it comes on VHS. It'll be probably 6 more months. So in that interim, I can read the novelization and relive my, you know, favorite adventure with my Cape Crusader friend. Whereas now the window to get to VHS is a lot slimmer, so you don't have to wait super long. And even if you did, there's new movies coming out every week. And I feel like the craves or craving for more of that content is less so now because there's just so much more.
I feel like it's a backdoor to getting kids to read.
The junior ones, yeah, but there was so many that were just like adult novelizations too, right?
For adults, for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, like maybe that's why it feels confined to the, like when I think of it, I think of like 70s.
Yeah.
And, you know, home theater wasn't as much, I mean, it was just like in its early stages then.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does feel
so
like.
So if you saw a movie in the theater, it was going to be a long time before you were able to see it again, unless you want to keep going to the movie.
Yeah, which if it came on TV, be lucky to see it then. It kind of like treasure the memory as it was. And so the novelization becomes a way to have access to that without having to have invested in like VHS technology when it was super young and it was super expensive.
Right.
Right. When I was a kid, the junior novelizations to me were previews of the movies. Like I read Jurassic Park, the novelization, before I saw the movie. So I knew what to expect. I was just too excited. I was just like, I couldn't get enough Jurassic Park content leading up to the movie because I just wanted to see it so bad.
That's really funny.
But you didn't read the actual book?
A book to a movie to a novelization of the movie. That's funny.
Yeah. And the junior novelization of Jurassic Park, the movie, or Jurassic Park is really just the movie plot. Like, it didn't even address the book at all. Like, it's strictly just the plot of the movie.
Yeah.
But I was so hyped for it. I was so just like ready for Jurassic Park. Eventually, I did read the Crichton novel too, but whatever I get my hands on. I do remember when I bought that, my mom suggested I level up to a more advanced book at that point. And I was like, okay, I guess so. But I was pretty happy with junior novelizations. Like I was getting everything I wanted, which is just more of these stories and more of the characters specifically. But so I, in doing some research on this, I found there's like a whole archive of people who are devoted to these novelizations online. There's a massive like record of them, and they find them and catalog them and describe them. There's a podcast about it as well. It's definitely like a thing. People are still have the nostalgic fondness for these novelizations. We should do one for our podcast for sure.
Yeah, obviously.
We should novelize these episodes. Yeah, it's not a bad idea, actually. It could kind of work.
Novelizing this one, ooh, so meta.
Yeah.
Well, he's the meta doctor.
Okay.
That's true. Doctor.
That's true. Let's novelize the Rev.com episode.
Which you can now listen to on Patreon.
Yes. If you pay $1 on Patreon, you can get access to the re-release of the Rev.com episode from two podcasts ago.
Infamous.
Yeah. And I don't mean episodes, I mean entire podcasts ago, where we did a drunken, or no, it was a 5-hour energy review of Zabiba and the King, a novel by Saddam Hussein, that Brick tracked down. And there's a transcript of us discussing it. Check that out.
One of the greatest things that ever hit the internet.
Yeah, it's one of our favorite things we've ever done. So we should novelize that episode. Okay, that's going to be really fun. We should definitely do that.
Slim novel.
What's that?
I think we should shoot for 500 pages.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Just really get into the interior.
Yeah. Well, that's so... I think that one thing about these novelizations was they added... details these stories, right? They added sort of things that you didn't get in the movie because the writer had to... You know, screenplays are a bit more... Or a bit less internal,
right,
by design, right? So novels are obviously more internal, and so you get more information, you get more sort of like these thought processes you didn't get.
Yeah, the characters' inner workings. Yeah,
yeah. One that I really love. This isn't a movie novelization, but when I was a kid, my brother had a novelization of The Death and Return of Superman, which was a comic story that ran for, I think, a year, maybe. I can't remember exactly how long it was, but it was across all four Superman books that time. When Superman died, it was brought back, and there were four Supermen, and it was a whole thing. And I loved that thing. I read it so many times. Like, it was super fun, and it added some details. I got kind of more characterization, more nuance, a bit more of the plotting than you got from the story itself. So it kind of added another way of reading these texts. It's again, like, it's, you know, looking for more content, looking for more information about them, but also just looking to relive them too, so to get that kind of experience again. I think you're right. Just like, there's not as much of a market for, outside of children for sure, there's just not as much of a market for adults who want to. There's not going to be a novelization of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, for instance, right? Because like, there'd be no reason to.
I think it still happens maybe slightly more commonly with the highly nerdy stuff. Like, I think I've definitely seen sections of like video game and sci-fi movie novelizations in like Barnes and Nobles or wherever those chain bookstores are, like recently.
Yeah.
When they're like, now all those stores are like clear, like they have toy sections and whatever, and they're clearly just repurposing to anyone who can get in there and buy stuff.
Right.
You definitely see those. There's like Halo novels and stuff.
And are they direct novelizations? Are they sort of like franchise add-ons?
I don't know the answer to that. I've never actually... That doesn't appeal to me, so I don't...
Right.
My guess is both.
Right. Yeah, because like there's tons of, like Dave was mentioning the Star Wars novels, there's a ton of Star Wars novels that aren't their original text, right? Yeah,
I
used to read
those when I was a kid. I just never read the ones that were the actual novels of the books.
Right, and that feels like a different animal.
Yeah.
To some extent.
I imagine that they're all kind of bred together at this point. In the, you know, we've talked in the past about how there's kind of the constant push to make things a franchise or a world or an extended universe. And so I think if something's big enough to support books, then that's an obvious.
Yeah.
I think there's probably, as which we've also talked about, as people sort of start to attach their personalities to fandoms, so to speak, I think there's room for, you know, like someone to want to be able to read a book of the plot of whatever game without playing the game because they don't interested in the game. They're interested in the cosplay or whatever. You know what
right.
I mean? Like, I think that's a kind of a realistic avenue for those things to go.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, Dio was kind of talking about that too with the fan fiction thing, that you can just write your own now too. There's a much more available, I mean, fiction existed for a long time, but now the internet has made it sort of a lot more accessible, and also to have a bigger audience too. We don't have to go to a convention or subscribe to a zine to do it. You can sort of just do it pretty easily on fanfiction.net or whatever other...
Whoa, look at you tossing out free sponsors.
I think that might have been shut down, actually. I don't know if it still exists anymore, but there's a couple other like larger platforms for fanfiction. But that also seems different too to me, like writing your own. I mean, I get the impulse, obviously, but there's something about like the authorized, like this is the canonical text, this is the one. They used to also do comic versions too. There was a comic...
Those are still common.
Yeah, you get those too, but they were a big deal. The comic novelization or the graphic novel adaptation of the Batman movies were big. And now licensed property comics are all over the place. Like, every licensed property has its own comics.
Would it just be graphic novelizations of comic book movies, or would they do that for all sorts of movies?
They did other movies too. There was, in the 60s, there was a 2001 A Space Odyssey comic that Jack Kirby did that led to the creation of the character Machine Man. And Star Wars, Raiders of the Lost Ark, I feel like everything had a comic adaptation, or like the big kind of tentpole adventure, you know, blockbuster movies did for sure. And that's getting less and less as those things become more just like other properties. So you'll get instead, you know, a 6-issue limited series about Blade Runner versus just like a standalone adaptation of Blade Runner in comic form. It's a lost art, a different art for sure. Definitely was a golden age of nerdy kids reading novelizations of movies. Which ones did you love, listeners? What novelizations do you crave? If you could choose a novelization for any movie now, what would it be? We want to hear all about that on Twitter. YakBabies, or email us at yakbabies@podcast@gmail.com.
What one would you choose?
What? Say it again.
What novelization would you choose?
Oh my gosh. Now I'm on the spot. And it can't be porno?
I wouldn't want to read a novel of porn.
It'd
be boring.
You know what I bet would be a good novel? A movie that I really loved in movie form. Not that I think it has to be translated necessarily, but I really love this movie, and I bet that would work in novel form too, is Phantom Thread. Paul Thomas Anderson movie from a couple years ago with Daniel Day-Lewis about the dress designer. I bet that would be a really good novel. Yeah, that's what I'd say. Phantom Thread.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know the answer to mine.
Yeah.
I have one.
Okay.
Wonder Boys.
Because the movie was better than the book?
Yeah, the movie was better than the book. It was funnier, more entertaining. I liked the characters more than I did the characters in the book, so I would look forward to that for sure.
Readapt and try and address the failures of the novel. Yeah. Versus. That's pretty good. Well, yeah, tell us about yours, listeners. Use those apparati to get information to us, and find us on Patreon at patreon.com/yakbabies for $1. Get access to bonus materials, all fun stuff happening there online. Until then, Yak Babies, yak it off.
The Yak Babies wish to thank all the personal pals who listen each week, and most especially to send extra thanks to all who have supported on Patreon past and present, including Michael, Bonnie, Sebastian, and William Howard Taft.